Well, design thinking is how you get from the problem to the answer. What I hope people take out overall is that design is about emotions. It's a way of communicating emotion. It's a way of experiencing emotion. And maybe we could use emotions for good. Not sure how to do that, but maybe we can. But actually, that's what a Biennale is about. It's to actually not just provide the answers, but to raise the questions, to get people thinking more about better ways of doing things. I'm John Sorrell, and I'm president of the London Design Biennale. It is a gathering together of 40 countries, cities and territories to respond to the Biennale theme, emotional states, through design installations.
I'm Arthur Reynolds, and I'm representing Variant Studio, and I'm from Latvia, and we are doing a Latvian entry for London Design Biennale. Well, I live in London, and I have very poor quality windows at home, and well, I'm a designer artist. I go to bed very late and wake up quite late as well, but my younger brother, he's a chef, and he wakes up very early. So one day he came and visited me, stayed at my place, and well, he wakes up early, he made breakfast, and then after a couple of weeks he left. He went back to Riga, Latvia. And this one morning I had to wake up very early. So I wake up super early, made my breakfast, was sitting at the table, looking out of the window, and this condensation naturally appeared because it was very early, you know, the windows are bad quality and they became wet, and I was looking out of the window, and a smiley face just appeared, because when my brother was there, he apparently drew a smiley face. But during the day, the windows weren't wet, and you couldn't see it, and this was quite a magical effect in a way. Well, when you walk in the installation, in this room, you're gonna see basically a large panel, a glass wall, greenish in color. And it's going to be wet. It's going to naturally condensate. And the idea is that people can walk and leave their prints, write something down. And in a couple of minutes, the left mark will naturally disappear. People can sit on a bench, as there's going to be a specific bench design for this installation. And there's going to be a specific scent as well. For this piece to work, we need technology, which we have developed for more than a year. We need nature, because it's all about the nature. And we need humans. And this is the interaction between these three elements. It's like a triangle: human, nature, technology.
Yesterday, a man came along with a buggy with a little tiny two-year-old in. And the man went over and did a massive, great big drawing of a caterpillar using his whole hand. It was huge, great. And the little boy, and it was a little boy, looked up and suddenly got very excited, jumped out of his buggy and ran over and started drawing. But he didn't do a big loose. He was drawing this incredibly detailed train, which is obviously what he's interested in at the moment, across the screen. And I saw this wonderful reaction by, you know, grown up and a child. What they were putting up was transient, but it was also very beautiful. And I think it's a wonderful piece. And I think everyone who's seen it really, really likes it. So, but it's also got this deep point about the transiency of the environment and nature and so on.
What comes Latvian for me with this work is that it's very natural. There is this essence of nature. And in Latvia, we are very close to nature. Even if I was born there, and many people are living there, they very rarely see it or understand it because it's very common for them. For me, living in London and then coming back to Latvia, I value it, and I value it maybe more. And I wanted to show both to Latvians and to other countries that nature is very close to us. It's very nearby, because in Latvia, like, you're in the capital city of Riga, you want to go to forest, 20 minutes by car. You want to go to lake, 10 minutes. Sea, 15 minutes. Everything is very close. And it's very present for us. And And forests are covering 54% of Latvian area, and the condensation is in Latvia quite present as well. And I wanted to show this natural element behind it. And it wouldn't work without technology, because the technology is in the work. It has been developed by us for over a year. It's very complex, actually. Visually, it's very simple. Idea is very simple. Technologically, it's very complex. And this is also has to do about Latvia, because, yes, we are close to nature, but we have many, many new startups, which are very technological, and the industry is, in a way, booming. And I wanted to show that as well, that, yes, we are close to nature, but yet again, we are quite modern, contemporary. And I hope that not only Latvians, but also from people from other countries who are going to visit this work will see and understand and maybe think about nature and how we interact with it, and maybe it's gonna have some consequences in a better way. I think it's interesting to see different aspects and different elements which correspond to one theme, because there is one theme for this Biennale. It's emotional states, and it's quite interesting to see what every country has to say. And I think the design nowadays, yes, it should be functional, and I've always been very functional designer, industrial designer, but I think the emotion aspect of the design is very crucial, and it should be there. And I think this work, I wouldn't say this work is design. It's not design, it's not art, it's mixed, even architecture, but the emotion is there. And I think that if we can trigger people emotionally, then it's much easier to speak with them, to work with them, and I think this emotional aspect is very, very important for me. I hope that people will feel positively and emotionally charged. It does tackle many social or political even contexts, but I think visually it's very positive, and it could trigger many emotions, whereas you just sit and think about yourself, your life, or you think about nature, or you just leave a print and you don't care and you walk away.
Well, the courtyard in Somerset House is a fantastic environment for an installation like the one from Greece, which is an absolutely amazing piece of work. It's so clever, and it's clever in all kinds of ways. It's clever in the idea that it brings, but it's also clever in the way it physically works, and it delights everyone. The three great things about design, of course, are the thing, whatever it is, has to be made well, which this is. It has to fulfill its function, which this does, and it has to delight everyone who sees and uses it, and it fulfills those three things brilliantly. Everybody who comes here is excited by it, and I think it will go down as a legendary piece of work.
Hello. I'm Nasia Inglesis, founder of my Studio INI, which is a practice based in London and Athens. In London, we're based in Somerset House, part of the community called Makerversity. I see a wall, not too dissimilar to the walls of the courtyard, almost looking a bit marble-like, quite rigid, quite heavy, which sort of is sitting there in the middle of the courtyard as a barrier. But they very quickly discover that it's not something to obediently be looked at, but to that they can enter within it. And in the first step, which is usually the one the most exciting, you get people squeaking or screaming sometimes, basically this very narrow passage, which lies within the wall, suddenly flexes and opens and responds to your first step by stretching around you, and suddenly the space completely altering, enlarging on your sides, and that's the first surprise. And the floor kind of drops under your feet. The floor drops, the wall opens, and then you go to the next step, and it starts moving with you, starts undulating. And you feel the floor is really responding to each step that you're taking in a very direct relationship to your body. And as you're getting more and more used to it, you walk more and more freely. And just sort of start feeling a bit of a sense of empowerment for being able to control this space, control this structure, which is at an architectural scale, and reconstruct it just by movement. The emotions go from emotional fear in the beginning, I would say for most, of what I've witnessed, to excitement, an element of wonder, I hope. And you can see it from how the person goes in and how they come out the other end, which is very interesting just from their facial expression. When I was asked to exhibit for the London Design Biennale under the theme of emotional states, my first interpretation or reaction was, well, emotions are very transient and dynamic and constantly shifting, yet our physical environment is very, and our architecture in many ways, very static and very rigid and doesn't respond. As much as our digital realm is adaptable and constantly updatable, our design built world is still very static and rigid. It's designed with the human factor integrated in it, and it would respond to it. The motivation was really to allow the public this experience and a feeling of empowerment, of being able to adjust and manipulate your physical environment, and propose more of a question of what could be, since we have such new capacity in our digital realm that allows us to design the physical better and embed information, embed behavior, design for performance, simulate dynamic systems. And digital fabrication has opened up so many possibilities as well in terms of how we fabricate, how we work differently with new materials, and to really propose of what could be for design, for more dynamic physical design, what we call an augmented materiality. It was an amazing opportunity to really, although the studio has always had a base in both London and Athens, this project was the first where it truly was developed in parallel in both cities. And it was an amazing opportunity for me as a designer to understand what both communities in which my practice exists in can offer differently and complement each other. I think in a way, just looking at the materials and where each piece was made, you can say what's Greek and what's in the UK simply by the skeleton and the structure, which is sort of what would describe a crazy mechanism, is the Greekness. The facade, which is this very innovative material of working, taking HDP, recycling it and reforming it and using different colors to make it, use it, recontextual and structural scale. And both in the aesthetics of it and how it performs and lightness, creating a modern material that reuses our waste and recontextualizes, is the Londonness, is really the kind of innovation and looking for having new ideas and having that diversity that allows you to think about new contexts for different things. Design is actually at a very exciting place because of that, because of the fact that it can be within so many different worlds and disciplines and forms and practices, and can be practiced under different contexts of knowledge. And that's exciting because it makes design more of a platform for dialogue between different worlds. I think it allows, by having the title of design, it gives gives structure and formalizes that dialogue and that crossover. I think that the Biennale is an amazing idea, even in the form of the structure of countries in a such traditional way, because it generally forces this highlights really this need for cross-national collaboration in design. And even though each exhibit represents one specific country, the event really highlights this dialogue and even how the pieces are within the building, within the courtyard. Greece is next to Turkey, for example. That's where you see and you draw the parallels between what is currently relevant to humanity across countries at the moment and what our design should be looking in terms of addressing, in terms of challenges and concerns within a larger context of society, really.
The really interesting thing is that everyone's got their own response to the theme, but everywhere people are concerned about the difficulties the world faces. Everyone involved is completely aware of how design can change things for the better. Everyone is interested in how design thinking can challenge absolutely everybody, governments, institutions. And most importantly, I think, is that everyone is very aware that putting everything together in one place at one time creates an absolutely fascinating proposition, which I personally think the world needs more of. More ways in which people collaborate, the better things are. And designers and curators are particularly good at collaborating. They want to make things better. So I think that's quite an interesting story in its own right. And gradually, as you see people going around, I think the penny drops. And it helps particularly when you walk around and you hear people on their phones trying to find each other. And they're saying, where are you? I'm in Norway. Oh, I'm in Latvia. Where are you? Oh, I'm in... And you get this wonderful feeling that you actually are in this tiny, wonderful little planet sitting here in Somerset House of people from 40 different places. It's quite extraordinary, very unusual.
So I'm Natalie Harb. I'm a scenographer and an installation artist. I live between Beirut and London. I'm doing the Lebanese Pavilion in the London Design Biennale. The Silent Room version 2 is a tower that is indigo, in an indigo color. Its base is a perforated brick envelope, and you go through the stairs and then you have access to the actual silent room, which is a timber box. It's acoustically isolated. There is not much going on inside. The light is quite subdued, and then you have a soundscape of the city at its quietest hours recomposed. Idea is that you go inside and there is not much information. You're kind of isolated from the outside world to be left with your own skin, own self. Basically, I have no control and I do not want to have control on the emotions. It's whatever emotions you have, I mean the viewer has or the visitor has, that will come out. And this is exactly the purpose of this project, is, you know, to create space for emotions, whatever they are.
I'm interested in tree houses, so this for me was a sort of personal interest, because I've got a tree house. It isn't quite like that. But the idea of just going up from the ground into a beautiful space. My treehouse is in the spring. It's built around a pear tree, so in spring when the blossom is there, and you go and just sit in the amongst the branches and the blossom, it's the most heavenly place.
It is an ongoing research on shelter within the urban environment and then the possibility of intimacy within the public space. I think it is a response to the Beirut environment, pretty much, to start with, but then it's also a response to global urban environments. But because I'm Lebanese, I am very aware of what is a shelter, be it a space I kind of discovered when I was young during the Civil War. And it's a space that has two components, one of safety and one of danger. The soundscape in Beirut is very dense. It's very close to you. You can't have space, basically, because everything is really too close. So I just needed to create a void. But also when I continued my research, I basically realized that basically silence is something that is not affordable anymore in cities, that you can't find it in private, in public spaces. You can't find silence in public spaces. It exists more and more in privatized one. The idea was to bring it to a public space. Because obviously, I mean, in lower income neighborhoods, people are more exposed to noise, noise pollution, but also all forms of pollution, like visual and informational. I mean, it's more densified, you're closer to industrialized areas or motorways. One of the main idea of this project is to bring this guy. I mean, here the silent room is a show. I mean, it's showcased in Somerset House, but it's not where it's supposed to be in city. It is supposed to be in these neighborhoods or environments that where people need them maybe a bit more. I mean, I do envision them being part of the city as public utilities. We moved from the first design to the second one by reducing its footprint. London being a city that is a little bit more dense, we thought that if we wanted to implement it in the public space or urban environment, we needed to be smaller. So now, before it was two towers, now it is a single tower. And then we contextualized it by working with brick, which is a material very present in the architecture of London. So that was the translation. I mean, the architectural take on it that I have worked with with Buf architects, who are actually based here and who are from here. And then, but how will it be received? I don't know. Not knowing is a very important element of my process. I do not want to have control. I don't want to impose a narrative. We'll see. We'll. And also because the silent room is a tool of questioning silence in urban environments. And how can it exist? Is it actually needed? Will people need to go there and visit it, spend time in it? So basically it is there to be... it's a tool of experimentation, of questioning. Putting the silent room in the city, in Beirut, the first time generated a lot of conversation. I was surprised by the spread and the viralness of it. It just confirmed a need I had, but then it was not just mine. It's actually surprising to realize how much people need it in their daily life and how much they don't give time for it, and also how scared they are of it, of actually finding themselves alone in a room, not doing anything, not performing, not achieving anything. I think almost everyone who went in really felt very good when they went out. I just hope we'll have the same effect here. Thank you. I'm very interested with how design can shape your experience of the city and how it can address issues or problems. This is quite particular and specific to Beirut, where we live in a city that is quite problematic, and a lot of it can be changed through initiative of designers or of people, but then, you know, the translation of it is into construction, ephemeral one, urban interventions. When you are present in an environment that doesn't threaten you, then you are free to listen to what you want and to make space for what you want, and so to listen to your own self.
Well, the theme was chosen by Chris Turner, who's the artistic director, and I think it's a brilliant piece of thinking, because there's so much emotion in the world now, and it seems there's more emotion than pragmatism, and it's quite an interesting moment just to stop and take stock of that. It's just great to have these moments where people do come together. They stop for a minute what they're doing. Everyone's in this crazy world, very emotional world, where there's an awful lot of very quick, too quick responses to problems and difficulties. And so what it does, I think, is start a kind of string of pearls conversations going. I'm very interested in how people will review in the future what's happened in the first and the second and then the third and the fourth and so on biennales. And I think it will make a very, very interesting picture of a continuous conversation.
My name is Mariam Majid, and I am the lead designer of the Pakistan Pavilion, a beautiful large room. And right at the center of that, there is a rising helix constructed out of garments. They are white muslin garments, and they form a canvas for film projections, which have been inspired by the interviews we did of the female artisans that actually hand-embroidered and hand-stitched these garments. We wanted to present one of the strengths of Pakistan, which is the textile industry, and also focus on the pivotal role of women in that sector. So we were able to sort of collaborate with an organization called Karwan Craft Foundation, and they look after around 11,000 female artisans spread all over Punjab and other rural parts of Pakistan. This was an opportunity to gain an insight into the mind of the artisan as she sits down and she picks up that needle and she begins to craft, and the inward journey that she sort of goes through. And that tallies in with the theme of emotional states, because that's when that internal monologue is directly connected to our emotional states. And then on top of that, we have interactive computational art constructed out of words in Urdu. And those words are the different emotional states. In Urdu, we don't have the English translation because our computational artist felt that the calligraphic script of Urdu has a certain flow to it, which would gel in better with the whole concept. We feel that the stories of these women are really worth looking at, because they are not just breadwinners or artisans, they are mothers and homemakers as well, and they multitask, which is something which I think is incredible, really.
It gets to the heart of all kinds of issues, which are about working and the ways in which people work. It's very deep, and the team who put it together, I think, have thought about it very, very hard, and they're trying to communicate some very, very interesting ideas. I think this is one of the pieces which people find perhaps a bit more challenging, and they need to take the time to look at it and think about it. And it's one of those things where people see it here, if they take the time, when they get home, they think, oh, that was amazing.
I do believe that the lines have blurred a lot between art, craft, and design. It's they overlap And with the Pakistan installation, we will find there are elements of design, there are elements of craft, there are elements of art, maybe. The aim is not just to represent the emotional states of the female artisan, but also allow the viewer to come and have their own interpretation of whatever they're witnessing, whether it's through the sound or the imagery or the structure itself, the whole installation, and the interactive element with the computational art. We want people to leave with a certain sense of euphoria or a certain sense of emotional entanglement with whatever they've experienced.
Although I am a Londoner, I've worked in London all my life, and I've been part of the creative community in London for over 50 years. The creative community here has changed dramatically, and it's now probably the most international creative community in the world. This Biennale and the 2016 one have reinforced my belief about collaboration between creative people. But it's really brought it home to me being in this space. You know, London's a big space. I know people everywhere from countries. Suddenly, here we are for 3 weeks in this confined space with people speaking different languages. They're from all over the world, and it's absolutely joyful to be with them. So that, for me, it's reinforcing something I kind of knew already, but you can't avoid it when you're at Somerset House during the Biennale. I was surprised in 2016 at how brilliant it was. But this year, I was expecting great work, and indeed, we've got great work.